I'm not a bounty hunter. I've heard otherwise. Jabba ruled with fear. I intend to rule with respect.
Oh! What is this? Something new. It's a crazy world out there, guys. I know there's politics and everything. It's all I talk about all day long. It's all a lot of my friends talk about. And sometimes we get tired of talking about politics. We just want to escape. We want to get away from it. We want to go enjoy some entertainment and talk about space politics. So that's what we're going to do today with The Mandalorian Season 3. Yes, it is The Mandalorian Season 3. Because everybody who watched The Mandalorian, 50% of them were thinking, this is Boba Fett, right? That's Boba Fett. And the other 50% were just sitting there waiting for Boba Fett to show up. But we're going to do some recaps. We're going to do some reviews and breakdowns of these episodes, something that I do on here every now and then. And whenever I do, I pair up with somebody else who is, interested in the same type of nerdy shit as I am. And I found somebody, or he found me. I'm not sure which one. But I am joined today by... he's from the Mandalorians of Liberty podcast and his other show that is a little less terroristic. I think it's called Second Print Comics Podcast. It is the one, the only, Mark Claire from Mexico with the great internet. Mark, how's it going?
Bravo to you, Dan. Honestly, the main reason I pair with you on these things is because I know I'm going to get a badass video intro. So that's...
Yeah,
it's really
you're
all
just going to talk over me the rest of the time. You're like, thanks for the intro. I'm going to review this now.
And this sign, there was a slight misprint on that sign. That's supposed to be an R, and it does say Mandalorians of Liberty. It's blocked out of the frame. Yeah,
it's just a little cropped. And you need to get your...
cropped like my internet.
You need to get squared up a little bit there, but it's all good. Mark, how's it going, man? It's been a while since you've been on the show in any capacity. I think it's been since WandaVision. An episode of Loki, right?
I think I started doing the Loki recaps and ended up on like one episode.
Yep. Sounds about right. Yep. So we're going to do this. We did something else, didn't we? No. You kept hitting me up for other things and I never did them.
Yeah. I don't know. I hit you up for graphics. I hit you up to do shows and it all kind of blends together at some point.
It does. I mean, time.
You hit this guy up for a lot of shit, people. A lot.
It's true. But yeah, the first one's free, guys, as is sometimes the trend whenever we feel like doing it. The first one is free to all you normies out there, and we're streaming this one live. We'll probably stream the other ones. We might stream them live in like one of our Facebook Patreon groups or something, but after this one, it's all going to be behind the paywalls. So go over to patreon.com/thesystemisdown or Mark's.
Stop being poor. Find $5.
That's right. Not, I don't think either of us can super chat anyway, right? You can't super chat.
No,
you're demonetized.
No, we cannot. No.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if we did stream to the Second Print channel, that one we probably could, actually.
You guys aren't quite controversial enough yet?
No, not yet. And we don't really do video. We've like lazily sometimes uploaded some of our audio with a still image to YouTube. We've done nothing video-wise yet.
Yeah. So if you guys want to support... Maybe we'll figure that out. Probably won't because we're also lazy. And it's only going to be for patrons after this anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But Patreon, since we can't super chat, we don't really want your money. We're just here for the fun and we're going to do this whether you pay for it or not.
I really do. I need better internet. I actually do need the money
to
increase my budget.
We got to rescue Mark from Mexico. They're holding him hostage. But go support us at Patreon.
In this room that they furnished only with a backdrop of one of my podcasts.
Yeah,
so they're very nice terrorists. Very nice cartels.
The other side is like a scene from Saw. It's just like this empty, like that's why he sounds a little echoey. He's just in like an old shower house or something. But Patreon, as I'm trying to get to and can't seem to, patreon.com/thesystemisdown or Mark, where can people get the rest of these from you in the future?
They could get this and so much more nerdy comic book talk over at the Second Print Comics Patreon that you can find at patreon.com/secondprintpod. That is the word second. Don't do the two and D. No, we're not abbreviating the word second.
We're not that lazy.
Yes, yet.
So, Mark, on this wonderful, I don't know, Thursday morning, I literally had to look to see what day it was because I don't even know anymore.
That's the same world I live in now. Days don't make sense.
That's right. So you watched the episode. I watched the episode. I skimmed through it again this morning as well. Do you want to give just kind of your, well, going into this, what kind of background do you have with, I know you're like into comics and stuff, but do you have like much background in Star Wars or Boba Fett or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I'm very much immersed in the Star Wars mythology. Obviously, love all the movies, even the bad movies. I love to be mad at them for being bad, and I just still love that they're part of the universe. So, and I've read a lot of the comics too, as well as when I was younger, I read all like the Timothy Zahn books, which were like basically a continuation of these stories, which then got butchered away with the J.J. Abrams stuff, but right. Some of that stuff is actually starting to become canon, like what's his name, the guy with the blue face, you know who I'm talking about,
Thrawn,
yes, Grand Admiral Thrawn. See, thank you very much. So it's I'm very immersed in the mythology, and Boba Fett is, I mean, he's one of those characters, I think he has been more explored in some comics and other books, stuff that I haven't really been exposed to as much, but he's always been this character who's been extremely popular, yet really if you add up his screen time, it's very, very minimal. It's maybe 7 minutes across every movie. So, yeah. But he's always had this allure about him, and to see him return in The Mandalorian, I thought that was pretty badass. I didn't know, I wasn't sure what to think of this character at first, this version of Boba Fett. But that's why they sent us to this TV show, and they teased it well. So I've been looking forward to it.
Yeah, same. And for me, like I was always a big Star Wars nerd and everything. And I was like, I like Boba Fett. I have nothing against Boba Fett, but I don't understand like the hype. Right. I don't understand this obsession.
They haven't given us a reason to like him, except he looks cool.
Right. And he's on screen for like 4 scenes and then he dies. And he originally appeared in the first time he was on any of the movies was the holiday special, because they were planning on bringing him out and they had him in a little cartoon there riding a dinosaur on the back of a brontosaurus. Like, there's no reason to love this guy as much as everybody does. But here we are.
And I hope they bring that back as an homage somehow in the next in this series somehow, but put him on a dinosaur. Well, he kind of was.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think there was even something in The Mandalorian that kind of poked fun at that when they had the Mandalorian riding like a giant lizard
that looked.
I'm pretty sure there was something that was hinting around about that. So it'll be even better once they, I mean, same planet, same world and everything with this show. So he'll end up on a dinosaur one way or another. Indeed. So what'd you think? What'd you think going into this? They set it up with like this 12 minutes of no talking, no dialogue, just kind of flashbacks and showing us like Geonosis and his father dying, or his father's helmet and all that stuff. How'd you feel?
I liked that we got right to exactly finding out how he got out of the Sarlacc pit, basically. Right. We see that he's in this chamber, so some kind of rejuvenating chamber that's presumably in the present day in Jabba's palace. But I was afraid that, I think he like mentioned, I'm not even sure if he mentioned it in The Mandalorian, but if it was a mention, it was a very brief mention. It was just like, yeah, I got out of there or something. So yeah. I was hoping this wasn't just something they would brush aside with just a one line or something. I was hoping we would literally just see it at some point in the series.
Like the death of Palpatine and all that. They could have just been like, well, it happened. Deal with it. Yeah. He's alive.
Oh, by the way, Palpatine's back and never died. And these Force ghosts never told you, those assholes.
Yep.
So I'm glad they really did explain it. And it's for the first time, because already I'm kind of thinking, am I really supposed to like Boba Fett? Like, he's this bounty hunter. He tried to capture Han Solo. Right. Yeah, he helped Mando out, but it was just to go kill this guy and take over a crime organization. So on the surface, there's really nothing for us to believe he's any kind of good guy we should root for. Right. So I think the purpose of these flashback scenes was to sort of build that sympathy a bit, to see everything that he went through. First getting pulled out of the Sarlacc pit, or shooting himself out of the Sarlacc pit, seemingly getting like, because you saw the one stormtrooper had all that acid that like from the Sarlacc pit burned through his helmet. So he got out of there, burned his way out of there, and
such
was able to do
scene.
So.
Such a cool awesome. Reveal, just to be able to see him in the Sarlacc pit burning his way out. Like,
totally.
Something that we always assumed and imagined, but we actually got to see it.
And it seemed he killed the Sarlacc, too, because, or did they kill the Sarlacc in the battle? Is that what happened?
I don't remember
if they killed it or just got away.
I don't.
Either way,
that
thing was dead when he crawled out. That thing was not moving at all.
They didn't kill it. Well, it wouldn't really make sense for them to have killed it and for him to have to burn his way out now, because the thing's like moving and kind of alive. But I liked how they, because I was wondering how they would handle You know, the Sarlacc pit having two different versions, one with the little worm thing in the middle in the special editions, and then the original just being the razor pit.
Wait, is there no worm thing in the original?
In the original, it's just the...
The thing that grabs on Han and then,
Yeah, it's got the tentacles coming out, but in the special edition, there's like a worm thing that comes out and is like chomping at him, like a big-ass thing. And I think they handled it well, because that thing was like, if I remember correctly, that was like in the middle. So this thing dies, and they don't show it dying. They just show it dead. And then that thing, like, it would have retracted back into itself. So whether it's there or not doesn't matter. So they don't even have to address whether the special edition is canon or the originals are canon, which I thought was pretty funny. But
easy way to avoid the subject.
Yes. So, yeah, we've got all that. And then he's like... stranded out there and gets found by Jawas. They take all his armor and then they leave him for dead, and the Tusken Raiders come and drag him off to make him their prisoner. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, all I could think was, like, what a rough day. I mean, geez, right. Like, not only does he has this battle that we see in Return of the Jedi, gets shot into the Sarlacc pit, wakes up, has to fire his way out, and just collapses from total exhaustion. I mean, first of all, it's got to be so hot. Like, he's in this fucking desert inside this thing after being inside the Sarlacc pit in that desert. My God, he passes out, gets all his shit taken, which I think we find out what happens to it later, because I think that's, doesn't he retrieve it eventually from that guy that Matt Mondo found that had his armor? Is that this guy?
Something like that. Yeah.
It feels like forever ago that I watched The Mandalorian.
I know, same.
Literally a lifetime ago. But yeah, I mean, he is just stripped bare. He's basically no longer Boba Fett in terms of he's not a Mandalorian. He doesn't have the armor anymore. He's just this guy. And man, I was feeling for him. I think this is helping to build that sympathy.
It's kind of like Loki, where they're just like, let's take everything away from this guy at the very beginning so you have some sympathy for him, and then we can move on from there. Yeah,
that's a really good comparison. Yeah, it's like we've taken everything this guy ever had, and now he's just stripped down to his bare bones, and now we can start to have sympathy for him because he's in this position that no matter what you've done, no one would want to be in, being dragged by this giant, whatever those things are called, those desert mammoths. I like the part because I was thinking when he was walking by, what are they called?
Banthas.
Banthas, that's right. When he was walking behind them and holding, I was like, man, why don't you just lay down and let them pull you? And eventually he did just collapse and let him get pulled away. I was like, well, I would have done that from the beginning, I think. But
yeah,
I mean, and then he's tied up, is being threatened by that lizard dog thing. I mean, this is all in like seemingly one day. I mean, how could you not have sympathy for him at this point?
Yeah, you can have sympathy for him, but it could have gotten a lot worse because what's the other option?
I could have raped and murdered him and left him in the desert.
That's true. I mean, more likely, if you are stranded in the desert, what are the odds of two caravans of marauders or scavengers or whatever coming by and helping you out? I mean, they helped him out not in the nicest of ways, but they got him out of the desert.
I'm thinking because we know it's not too far from Jabba's palace, so maybe it's a logical area for marauders and bandits to be. That's what I tell myself in my canon where I try to explain why things make sense.
I'll go along with you there. Most likely, lots of people die in this Sarlacc pit. Maybe every now and then it spits some things out.
And it does spit stuff out, as we've seen. Yeah. So, who knows what could be laying around there.
I'll take it. So we keep going back to... we move into like the future. It keeps jumping back and forth between these flashbacks and this present day where he's like taking power. It picks up where the Mandalorian left off with his story. And he takes power and I don't know. Just the back and forth.
But just by shooting Big Fortuna, like that's it.
That's it, yeah.
That's how the mob works.
Honestly, I love that. I don't really care if it's logical or not. That makes sense to me. That's how the mob works. That's how Bib Fortuna died. He didn't kill Jabba, obviously, but I thought that was brilliantly handled in The Mandalorian as a transition. But the thing I was going to mention was these flashbacks. He gets it back. It's when he gets back into the tank where I'm like, all right, guys, because then it starts to feel just a little bit. This is a very minor critique. A little bit like a save point on a video game where he's like, got to get back to the tank. Oh, I'm healing up. And while I heal, here's a flashback.
Right. We'll just pick up where we left, where we pressed pause, and we'll move along. But fair minor criticism, I would say, but didn't really bother me. But it is kind of a little tropey, I guess you could say.
Sure. And I mean, they do have a lot of explaining I mean, they have a character
that's a lot of explaining to do.
They've got a character that has very little story, but everybody loves so much, and they've got a lot of gaps to fill. So I think they handled it probably about as well as they could have. But they were at this scene where he's taken power, and the local villagers are coming through paying tribute, and we get this Owen Wilson type Twi'lek character who's there for the mayor. What were your thoughts on this scene?
I thought it was pretty interesting, and it kind of showed, like, I don't know, I guess a little bit of the trials and tribulations of, I guess, becoming a mob boss in a local area, trying to learn how it all works. Because before, as far as I know, he was just kind of in and out of Jabba's palace. You know, he was like one of his top bounty hunter guys, but he didn't reside in the area. This is not his spot. So I guess all you got to do is shoot Bib Fortuna, and you run the place now. I almost like
he was hanging out there, though. I mean, I don't really know.
Probably knew some of the locals.
Yeah, I don't know much about the backstory of Boba Fett in the expanded universe or anything. But
I believe he is supposed to be a somewhat infamous bounty hunter. So I'm sure he is known. I mean, they don't just think he's some random guy.
So he captures Han Solo, and then he goes there, and he's still hanging out after his bounty has been delivered the next time. So he must he's chumming with the locals at the very least. And
he didn't just make a drop off and take off. You know, he hung around for the after party.
Right. And it also doesn't really make sense. If you look back into Return of the Jedi, it doesn't make sense that Boba Fett is even helping Jabba unless he has deeper ties. Like, he's helping when Luke and Han and all them are fighting them. Why does he even jump in? Why does he care? Why doesn't he just say peace out unless he has
he's originally hired by Darth Vader. He just also has this other thing once he takes to also deliver this thing to Jabba the Hutt. So, you know, Darth Vader was more of a job, and maybe he has more of a longer standing relationship with Jabba, which is maybe why he felt the right to go in and take over, because maybe he's thinking this fucking, you know, this squidly haired fucking guy who's gained weight, a lot of weight since Return of the Jedi, almost looks like a Jabba now. This guy's in charge. Right. No, it should be me.
Yeah.
Which I guess. Respect in space ethics.
But does it really make sense to have, like, he's taking over as a mob boss, you know, a crime lord of a crime syndicate, but we're supposed to be like, oh yeah, he's like, we're supposed to empathize with this guy, and he's he's gonna be a crime boss but rule with justice,
but a crime boss we like.
Like vigilante, what? Right. I don't know.
That was much of my thoughts. Like when he goes to the town with what's her name? His bodyguard chick is cool. I'm sure we'll find out their connection at some point in the series. But you know, they basically show up and they're basically. By the way, did you realize that they're obviously it's Disney, so they can't say this, but they were quite obviously at a whorehouse when they were asking for tribute. Yeah. I like how Disney can put things in there that adults will get, but like I guess they're not really saying it, so they can tell, you know, all the busybodies, like, no, it's not that, it's just a place where women and shirtless men hang out and, you know,
with like chains around their necks,
suggestions to the people that come for tributes.
Young shirtless man and you know, a woman in a bikini top come up to clean their things. Clearly slave children are coming up to clean their stuff. Nothing to see here.
A couple things I found interesting about that scene, though. One is that he had his helmet off, so he's clearly not a Mandalorian in the same sense that Mando is in the series, where taking your helmet off, you know, he did do it in the series, but it was a big deal when he did. And this, now he's just walking around the town without a helmet on. So he clearly comes from maybe a separate sect of Mandalorians, like where he doesn't have that same, you know, he doesn't say this is the way, it doesn't have that catchphrase or anything. So it's very old. We've already seen in the Mandalorian series, there's already like different sects of Mandalorians. So I think he's probably one of these, like, I'm just my own guy Mandalorian and I do whatever the fuck I want, including take my helmet off if I feel like it.
Yeah.
I think this is more a storyline thing where they don't want to do a whole another show like with Pedro Pascal where you never see him the whole time. They're like, no, we fucking hired this British actor guy. Like, we're going to put him on screen.
Right. We're paying him enough money. And it sells more toys when you can have different versions with and without the helmet.
The helmet on, the helmet off version.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised they even went that route with The Mandalorian because with it being such a new character that people don't want to confuse
a fairly well-renowned actor.
That they don't want to confuse with Boba Fett, but they're going to leave his helmet on the entire time and never show his face or give you any, you know, distinction between him and Boba Fett. It's kind of strange.
I mean, when I first saw advertisements for The Mandalorian, I was like, oh, it's a show about Boba Fett that they're calling The Mandalorian. Interesting.
Yeah, me too. So we don't have to spend too. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on The Mandalorian because that's old news. But when they, you know, when Jon Favreau pitched it to Disney, he was probably like, "We're gonna keep his helmet on the entire time." They're like, "No, no, you're not.
What?
You are not gonna." He was like, "Wait, wait, wait. Hold on, hold on. What if we put this in it?
What if we give you a cute baby Yoda that you can sell so
like,
much?
Done. Nobody's going to care about... Nobody gives like, a shit who the Mandalorian is. They just want baby Yoda. That's all we needed to hear. Cha-ching.
I mean, it really is the baby Yoda show co-starring the Mandalorian. But
it is. What do you think they're going to do at, like moving forward since baby Yoda's been taken away?
All right, we are now officially transitioning to a Mandalorian review. I was wondering that too because I rewatched the end of the Mandalorian to kind of get ready for this. So I was a lot of these things were running through my mind. Like,
yeah,
like they can't have a whole series where they're doing computer animated young Luke. Like I can't imagine.
Especially
really
with that
be...
level of graphics. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's not going to work. And they can't suddenly bring in way older Luke. That would make no sense either, unless they did a time jump of some kind. I don't know. So I'm assuming at some point we get references to him being there. And for some reason, Mondo needs to go get Grogu. And then maybe we get one more flash of Luke in the window. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine we'll see too much. Or maybe we'll see
Sebastian
scenes of
Stan.
Grogu.
Just bring him in. I don't care.
Yeah, Sebastian Stan. I'd be fine with that. Fuck it. Like, get a young Luke. Like, I'll buy it. I can buy Sebastian Stan. Like,
yeah,
I can buy. That's close enough for me.
Just give us the stories. We don't care who the actor is, as long as they're good. So
exactly. Yeah. At the end of the day, pretty much. If they do a good job, you forget about it in 2 minutes. Anyway. So whatever. That would make more sense. But I mean, I don't know how much they want to go into the Luke stuff when it's supposed to be the Mandalorian show, even though we know it's the Baby Yoda show.
So
we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm kind of curious if we get snippets of that in this, because now in the present version, it is basically, this is kind of Mandalorian 3 in the timeline wise. So whatever's going on, whatever Mandalorian's doing it right now, in you know, relatively speaking, is
whatever he's doing out there.
It's taking place at the same time as the present version of the Boba Fett show. So there could be another crossover. I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up at some point.
Agreed. So where
I mean,
they
got to get Baby Yoda in there. Like, come on. This is merchandising. There's merchandising to be done, folks.
Just have him, like, in the background, like him and Luke just sitting at a diner or something in the
like
background.
Maybe at some point, Boba needs to have Baby Yoda killed for some reason. He finds out.
Oh, so then shit.
He goes off to kill Baby Yoda, and then obviously Mondo gets word of it, and maybe they have a conflict.
Oh,
and then maybe
shit.
That's what maybe that gets Baby
I
Yoda
liked
out of
it.
There.
I liked your build up there, but then them facing off against each other is too Marvel for me. Like too. Yeah. We gotta have the battle between the people that people know.
I like that in the series that didn't happen. I like that they just like were basically just like, all right, we're buddies. We'll help each other out. This is cool.
That's true. So,
but anyway,
we're talking about this episode, I think, and in it, they give this tribute. Everybody has to come through and give tribute and all that, and there's this guy who, like I said, is kind of the Twi'lek of, the Owen Wilson of Twi'leks, and he's like, oh, the mayor, he didn't send a tribute, he just said hi, basically, and then at the end, he's like, oh, and also, I'm going to need our tribute, so... Clearly, they're building some conflict here with somebody that we haven't met yet. What'd you think about that setup?
Well, you know, if we're going to start rooting for Boba Fett as some kind of hero, he's going to need an even more evil foil. So I presume this mayor character in the background is kind of being built up as that. But yeah, I like that he kind of thought, because I don't know what was going on before, but I don't think the mayor's talking to Jabba the Hutt like that. Maybe to Bib Fortuna, though. Maybe Bib Fortuna was kind of a bitch, and maybe that's kind of where the conflict is, because maybe Jabba was in Bib Fortuna just like, he's like, well, I'm here. I was just the guy that entered the door before, but I guess I'll take over. Right. And he probably was just a little bitch, and he probably just gave the mayor whatever he wanted. You know, it's probably did reverse the relationship, and now that Boba Fett's in town, it's like, no. We're doing
like
this
where
the
you're
job
going.
Away.
I like where you're going with this. Bib Fortuna was just like, well, I'll fill
look
in.
At him. Who can take this guy seriously?
Right. He's just a putz and pushover and he pays off the politicians rather than taking control of the politicians by force. Mm-hmm. I really do like that they made him
gain like literally like double in size. Like very, very like, because it showed him that it shows that he was just becoming, you know, a fat blob and it's time to be on your way out. Kind of like Jabba, because you know, depending on what edition of Star Wars you watch, he was quite mobile when he first met up with Han Solo in New Hope, depending on if he did in your version. And by the time a few years later, he was a fat fuck and it was the end of his time. So maybe this is just the cycle of the Hutts. They get too fat, they get too cocky, it's time to go.
I want to see the Bib Fortuna chapter. They're just the book of Bib Fortuna where he's...
Please give me the book of Bib. He's just John like, Favreau, if you're listening, I want the book of Bib.
I would be down where he's like building up his power in Jabba's whatever. Or he's just like a weasel like he seems. And then he gets power and doesn't know what to do with it and just gets fat. But
could be like a bumbling comedy kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes. They go the Disney route with it. And then, it ends with the obvious of him getting slaughtered, and we're allowed to see it because it's rated TVMA.
At least give me a comic book Marvel. Marvel, one thing Marvel has done amazing is they've taken over, you know, these Star Wars comics, and they've all been fucking amazing for the most part. So I wouldn't put it past them. They take obscure characters and do miniseries and one-shots. I wouldn't put it past them, especially if we start a trending hashtag campaign. Give us hashtag the book of Bib. I don't know. Yes. Maybe we'll get
I agree. Nolan Harris asks, yes, we have chats. Have you all seen Star Wars Visions? I have watched a couple episodes. And
what is Star Wars Visions? That's a no, I guess. What
it's like anime, manga, like anthology series where it's just like five or six episodes that have nothing to do with each other, just telling different stories in the Star Wars universe. It's not really my style. I'm not opposed to it, but I get distracted easily when there's a lot of action and shit, and anime always does that for me. I just stop paying attention to the story. So it's not bad from what I've seen, but I can't really give too in-depth of a review. And I assume you haven't seen it since you don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, you're right. I have not. But I'm vaguely interested, actually. Yeah. So maybe I'll check it out.
You'd probably like it more than me. But
I think that was an insult somehow, but whatever. Let's
No, you're more into the comics and the
likes of
that
you
stuff.
Probably more than I.
I'm just now getting into the Clone Wars. I'm trying to watch that because I want to get caught up. And I'm watching, like, Disney has a... I've been putting that off for years because there's so much of it, and I know a lot of it's probably filler. I want to get the story, but I don't want to watch like 7 years of content.
I want the cliff notes. If someone could just write down.
Well,
what happened
Disney has a playlist now that's Clone Wars Essentials, and you can watch like it's like episode one, five, and then jump to five.
Skip the fluff episodes, basically.
Yeah, and then of course that sets you up, and then they have all of the latest or the latest season. So that's what I'm doing. I think I'm like 3 or 4 episodes in. It gets better.
I may
start slow,
that
path, but it gets better.
Same for me. I was too intimidated by the number of seasons and like you have to learn. So if I can just do an essentials version, all right, I'm in.
Yep. Good call, Disney. But also, Disney, get your shit together because their platform. You go to the playlist.
You say this.
So you go to the playlist.
I've never had a single
one. And it's like episode one and episode five is the next one. You play episode one and it just goes straight on to episode two. It doesn't follow the playlist. You have to go back to the playlist to click on the next one. Yes.
Very annoying. Yeah. Like it forgets, like it brings you just to the episode where it lives in the ecosystem, doesn't bring you to a separate place where this playlist is playing.
Correct.
Yeah, come on. YouTube got that down in 2000.
Just get your technology caught up to YouTube and we'll be okay. We're past the tributes and all that. This guy is causing a shit. And Boba Fett says, ruling with justice and all that stuff or whatever the quote is. And he lets the guy leave, and they could have killed him obviously, but the guy's being kind of a smug asshole about it, which I think is great. Like just not taking them seriously as leaders, but he lets him live. And, so that kind of gives us the impression that they're going to make, you know, they're building this character of Boba Fett as, oh, he's going to do things differently. He's going to, he doesn't care how he's seen the crime scene and that's not what he's doing here. He's not going along with the mayor, obviously, and going with the politics, but he's also not going to be the Jabba the Hutt. What do you think?
I mean, it's one of those things still where it's like, so am I supposed to root for this guy who's just like, you know, going out there and just basically just being a crime boss and taking over and acting just like a criminal would be? I assume like between the flashbacks and maybe more of what we see in this story, they're going to give us more reasons to actually root for him, because if anything now he just seems like one of two bad guy sides.
Sure.
So like these other guys show up and fight them and whatever. And like, yeah, I know these are the heroes. So the Power Rangers show up and I am in my mind rooting for, I actually did really like, what are those pig things called that become loyal to him?
The guards, something starts with the G, right?
They have a
Gamorrean.
Name,
Gamorreans, I believe that's right. Yeah. Anyway, I did like have a good moment there where, you know, they're kind of outnumbered, and then like here come the pig guards who pledge their loyalty. Yes. And like I enjoyed that because I'm a sucker for pig guards. What can I say? Right. I'm a sucker for a good Gamorrean. But yeah, and then
it's very John McAfee of him to be like, yeah, these guys here are, they're the outlaws and they should be killed, but I'm just going to hire them as my loyal subjects.
Right. Will you be loyal to me? But still, I'm thinking like, so am I just rooting for one of the sides of two bad guys, you know, or am I rooting for the mob here? Is that what I'm supposed to root for? So, but I'm just letting it go because I'm enjoying the story. Yeah. And I really do. I think I enjoy it. It is kind of,
does it make you uncomfortable rooting for the outlaws?
Not really.
Mark, would you prefer that he be along with the Empire or the rebellion? Or
you're trying to rat me on some sort of political comparison here?
Yes.
You know, look, there's a series of bad guys, I think, is what we can say here. No one's going to claim, and the series is not trying to claim that Boba Fett is some kind of good guy or good person. But I think what we're going to do through the series is, through the flashbacks anyway, see this story, see how he got to where he is, and perhaps along his journey of, you know, taking over Jabba's Empire, maybe seeing why he's at least the boss with the heart of gold. You know, I think that's the best we're going to get. Now, but, you know, I'm interested to see how they do it.
As an aside, was Boba Fett ever really that bad of a guy? Or did he just, you know, I mean, his job is to hunt down people who owe money. And I assume that there's some sort of contract where they agree that, hey, yeah, if you owe me money, he's just doing his job.
He's the bounty hunter with cooler shit.
Right. And it just so happens that the guy who owes Jabba money is one of the guys that we like a lot. And that's life. I'm sorry.
And he did legit owe Jabba money. So exactly. I mean, as far as we know, that is legitimate, a legitimate debt.
Yeah. I don't know if he was ever not a good guy. If you're fine with Dog the Bounty Hunter, you should be fine.
I mean, we've never seen him do something. Boba. Well, I guess you could call just barging in and murdering Bib Fortuna somewhat, you know, somewhat not nice. Somewhat
immoral. That's fair. And I suppose him being friends with the crime boss initially.
But maybe there may be things we don't know. You know, there may be, we don't know why he just went from the Mandalorian and showed up there and just took over. There might be things he found out. Maybe Bib Fortuna was doing horrible shit and we don't know about it. Maybe there's some actual reason he wanted to go take over and make things different. So I'm hoping they flesh that out a little more, like the motivation for why he even wanted to go take over Jabba's palace and take that over. Like, what, that is a departure of career. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like going from mechanic to like speed car driver. It's like they're related, but they're not, you know, they're not really the same thing. So I'm curious if they give us some more motivation, and I'm sure they will, because I'm sure in these flashbacks we're gonna see, you know, how he gets, I forget this like whatever assassin's name that is his second hand, but I'm sure we'll see how their relationship
Lady
developed.
Fett.
And I'm, what?
Lady Fett is what,
yeah,
I'm,
let's call
here.
Her. Let's call, yeah, her Lady Fett. Why not? So I'm looking forward to seeing more of why I should root for Boba Fett, the character. And I definitely do get that. There's definitely a contrast. I think we definitely get that in the flashbacks, whereas in the present day, we don't see as much of those things we're supposed to be sympathetic for. But I assume we will see more of those as the series goes on.
Probably. Now, we mentioned it briefly, but they come out of the, I guess, the brothel or whatever that is supposed to be, and they get attacked in broad daylight by Power Rangers, and I'm calling them Power Rangers because anytime people in costumes in Hollywood movies are fighting in broad daylight, it feels like the Power Rangers to me. I don't care if it's Marvel or Star Wars or anything.
It's like Power Rangers with Dune gear, with those, yeah, like Dune sheet, basically.
It's like they just feel more like costumes when it's in like the morning, afternoon,
yeah, like
sun.
Bright red costumes. It's like, yeah, this just feels kind of silly, guys.
Yes. I don't know. What'd you think of the fight scene and all that action and stuff?
It was fine. I mean, it showed, you know, like they were clearly outnumbered and kind of outmatched, but it still showed like the Boba and I guess Lady Fett, we'll call her now, were able to hold their own against these obviously, you know, well-trained Power Ranger Dune assassins. And like I said, I popped when the Gamorreans just jumped in and helped, because they could have, you know, they could have just said, fuck it, this is our way out. Right. You know, this is, you know, these guys are being taken out. They could have joined sides and probably been like the heroes of the whoever. I'm sure it's, these guys must work for the mayor, I presume, who's not happy that he's coming around collecting again. Where I imagine maybe Bib Fortuna wasn't doing that all those years or something, or maybe he was, but they had to deal with him. who knows? And now there's this guy that they don't control. So yeah, but I like that there's the little team forming. I'm a sucker for like the teams, the groups. So I like that. Like we got Boba and his left-hand woman, and then these two Gamorreans who I feel like I'm going to end up, they're going to be like my baby Yodas of this. Like I think I'm going to end up liking them more and more as things go along. Cause really, even when we see in the present day, like they're the ones like putting him in the thing that's keeping him alive. Right. Like these guys kill him at any moment. So right. I got to respect
they flipped. They didn't even have to kill him. They could have just not saved him, but they saved his life at the end there.
That's so true. They've been through some shit. They've been slaves their whole lives. They could have taken the opportunity to get free, but they made the agreement. He said, if I spare your lives, well, you'll be loyal. If there's one thing I'll say about Gamorreans, they're fucking loyal, and I respect that.
That's right. They dragged him all the way back to the save point. But
to the save point. All right, and continue flashback.
Yes. So continuing the flashback, we go back to the Tusken Raiders having him prisoner, and he's chained up, and there's another sequence where he gets there's the dog and all that, and the chains and the shit, and then the little boy Tusken Raider, which I thought was kind of funny that they were cute or interesting take where they had a young kid Tusken Raider taking Boba Fett and this Greedo looking red dude taking him out to the desert to dig for water, and they've got the attack dog, so it doesn't matter who's watching, but just to see him like brought to such a low point, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, you see him brought to such a low point, and then like this, as far as I know, he hasn't had water this whole fucking time since he got out of the fucking man. I mean, he's got to be so thirsty, and then he's got to dig for these little water rocks and watch this asshole just drink them, like, or then watch the dog drink them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I really liked that. You know, I like that also that, you know, once he got once, because first Boba wasn't finding any of them. The only the other guy was, he's like, what the fuck? This guy's finding all of them. And this little shit, I forget what the name of the Greedo alien race is, so we'll call him Little Greedo for now. Yeah. But he's so excited when he finds them, excited to give them to the guy. I'm like, you're such a little bitch, man. Whereas Boba finds one, he doesn't even do it. He doesn't even think twice. He just cracks that fucker open and starts drinking. I'm like, he's like, yeah, I'm getting my water. Like, I don't care. And then the little kid tries to stop him, and he just grabs the thing. He's like, I'm drinking my water, motherfucker. Like, like, I just love that scene. Like, he's theoretically the powerless one. He's totally tied up, but he still is able to intimidate this kid and say, lick, bitch, I'm drinking this water. I don't care. I'll dig up your fucking rocks, but I'm taking a drink of water. And so I really like it is giving us more reasons to like and respect the Boba Fett character through little scenes like that.
Yeah. Now, if there was anybody in society today that you think Red Greedo would represent as he's capitulating to all the powers that be and ratting out the person who's trying to save him and, handing over all
of... Are you trying to make me get political again, Dan?
I'm trying to get Second Print Comics banned as well, because...
Let me just call him Karen Greedo is what I'm going to call him, and we'll leave it at that.
I like it. I like it. When they're digging and all this shit, eventually little Greedo masker digs up a monster, a sand
giant
monster,
scary motherfucking thing. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was a little.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, "This is going to be a creature." Like, as soon as he saw him, started to find something.
I was of like, course, I thought. I don't know. What did you think of the creature? I thought he was a little bit odd, a little bit off. Something. I mean, it might just be.
It almost felt like he was moving in claymation at times.
Yeah.
Like maybe they were using claymation, which is I respect if they did.
Yeah. I don't think they were, but it did kind of have a little bit of a weird feel
to me. Yeah. I agree. I felt a little, I mean, it was cool looking and scary, but also it did feel, I don't know. It felt a little off. It felt like it stood out from the background a little more. Like it felt like it didn't have the normal type of effects that we've seen from a lot of this stuff.
It's probably just,
maybe they just got lazy.
It's probably just like a Luke Skywalker face type deal where it's like, hey, you want it, you got it, deal with it, it's not gonna be perfect.
Like, that's what we can put together. This episode comes out in 2 days, man. Like, yeah, that's what you got.
It's a TV show. We spent $1 million or $1 billion whatever to get it to look like that. So
it was scary though. I mean, it went right after trying to eat fucking little Karen Greedo and like kicking everything's ass, I felt bad for the dog. Now I feel like the dog is going to end up part of this team somehow. Like, yes. they're already like making me feel a little sympathy for the dog, having the dog just get his ass kicked by this thing. And I like that, like the dog, it kind of reminded me of that scene of Crocodile Loki where the dog just like defended and jumped in and bit that creature's hand.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what Crocodile Loki did.
That's true.
Synergy.
Yep. Yeah, we're just building this ragtag team of misfits with a bounty hunter and a lady
Did Karen Grito survive that scene? I don't think so.
I think
Good, because she. I'm done with.
He ate Karen or something like that, but I'm pretty sure because it struck me as odd and about the only way that you could handle it though when he eats Karen or whatever kills Karen or no he takes her and smashes her into the sand.
Like it's her now,
and he's like pushing her under the sand. Yes, it's her. As everybody wants to, he's like shoving Karen under the sand and suffocating her, and I think he ends up eating her. I thought it was weird though that then he goes on to punch Boba Fett as this creature with like four or six limbs, and they've all got massive claws, and you're just gonna, you're gonna punch him. It just, I don't know how else you get out of that, like from a writer's perspective, how you make it work that he's just fine because he's out there like beat to shit already. You gotta give him a bit of a, I don't know. I was gonna make a sports reference. The phrase in golf when you give them extra something. I don't know.
No, I don't know anything about golf.
Okay,
putts. I don't have no.
yeah. But just having the thing punch him, I thought was weird. But I don't know how else you'd handle that. So
yeah. And then I like that they had him save the little, you know, little boy Tusken. It showed how badass Boba Fett is because he's not really Boba Fett. He has none of his armor.
Right.
He's seemingly only had the one sip of water out of a rock all this time. And he just grabbed this. And I like, and that was a good callback because Boba Fett had told the Karen Grito, like, I could choke you to death with this fucking thing right now. So moments later, he does choke this giant monster to death with this thing. And I thought it was really good for us to see, like, this dude is a badass. He's not just badass because he has this armor. Like, this motherfucker is a badass. Maybe I don't want to say heart of gold, but you know, he could have let this thing eat this guy that's been, you know, his captor this whole time. Instead he did save him, and then I also like that he just showed like, yeah, my chains are free, what are we gonna do here?
Right.
So, and now he's like, he's earned the respect seemingly of the Tusken Raiders. They go back, and I think that head Tusken guy hands him one of those water rocks and lets him drink. He's not in chains anymore. So it seems, at least for this first chapter of, because I think it's
making
been
friends.
5 years, right? It's been 5 years since Return of the Jedi when Mandalorian takes place, approximately.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So I guess we're going to see like 5 years through flashbacks throughout the show. I don't know if it'll take the whole season or what. Do you know how many episodes this is supposed to be?
I don't know. I was thinking originally that
last Mandalorian
six.
Was 16, so I'm not sure if this is a shorter. I think it is six, though. I think it's shorter.
Yeah, I don't remember. But I was going to say something. It's gone now. What was the last scene that we were talking about?
Well, it ended as you know, the Tusken guy handed him a rock, and you know, it kind of showed like, all right, you're one of us now. So I don't know if he's gonna spend some time as a Tusken Raider or just hang with them, or maybe they'll just let him go or what.
I don't know. I think is interesting is that in the Star Wars universe, there's the life debt thing. I don't know if that applies on Tatooine or anything, but this dude's like going around saving everybody's life, and he's building up this team as he goes, making allies.
I wonder. We've called this kid a little kid, dude, Tusken. I wonder if it might turn
just
out
a midget
to be.
Tusken?
I wonder if it might turn out to be this chick. Maybe that's why she's his secondhand man. Maybe that's she owes the life debt to him. Maybe that's who she is.
Because
who knows? We've never seen what Tusken Raiders are under their shit. Maybe they're just a bunch of different races that joined this tribe called Tusken Raider. Like, we have no evidence they're not just regular humanoids. They're just.
I would be pretty disappointed, though. I mean, when you talk like that, you've got to back it up a little bit. I think that might take I don't know. Like, I've thought about this with the Tusken Raiders. Like, are these helmets? Are those just their faces? I mean, who the hell knows? But at some point, it's like.
But why talk like.
Right.
If you can. Yeah, I don't know.
But like, at some point, it's like, I kind of want to know, but I kind of just want that to be left a mystery and not get to know any Tusken Raiders personally, because they're supposed to be like this. I don't know, the Taliban of the Star Wars universe, and they kind of are better when you don't know much about them, and they have a mysterious aura around their whole existence. But I'm sure Disney is going to come in and make them take their helmets off and make them something more sellable and marketable. But I think we're at the end. What is your final thoughts on Boba Fett? What'd you give it? Are we doing score like out of 10, or are we doing ABC?
Sure.
What do you want to do?
Out of 10 works for me.
Okay.
I would give this first episode, I'll give it like a 7.5, I would say. It was very good. It didn't blow me away. Like, I'm not texting anyone like, oh my God, did you see the debut of Boba Fett? Except you, just to schedule this show. But I'm not like,
oh my God, have you watched it yet? Because I want to do this. Not because
you know, like
care
the first episode of The Mandalorian, I was like, this is amazing. I'm blown away. And I don't have quite that same feeling with this Book of Boba Fett. That being said, I did enjoy it. I think I much more enjoyed the flashback elements of this, just seeing him, you know, broken down to basically nothing. And like,
kind of got our Baby Yoda moment at the very beginning. Like the end of the Mandalorian episode one was what everybody was talking about because it had this surprise that nobody knew about. The beginning of Boba Fett's like, surprise, motherfucker, we're answering all your questions right off the bat and we're going. Yeah. So
yeah, here's the Sarlacc pit. So I appreciate that. I definitely like it. They just went right into that. And I like that I like that we're getting these parallel stories where, because I didn't want it to just take place right when we take off and just reference like, yeah, I got out of the Sarlacc pit and now I'm here. So I'm glad we are actually getting the full story. We're actually going to see what brought him from his lowest point inside that Sarlacc pit, having all his armor taken off, to the point that we meet him again in The Mandalorian when he gets all his shit back and comes to shoot Bib Fortuna. So, and maybe we'll even find out more of the motivation, because as it stands right now, like we said, like it doesn't really make sense for this character from what we know to just go decide to take over Jabba's palace. But maybe he's been through a lot in the last 5 years, and most of it apparently without his armor. So really, we have no idea where his motivations lie and why he's doing this. So I really hope these are questions that Disney answers in this series and doesn't just leave us to say, because he felt like it, because he used to hang out there. So, and he doesn't want to be a full-time bounty hunter. So he's like, fuck it, I'll just go kill this fucking idiot and take over. I hope it's more than that,
because it works better for our story. Otherwise, we don't have much to do with this guy other than another Mandalorian show. Exactly. I loved it. I thought that they didn't try cramming too much in, but they covered everything that we needed them to cram into it, without it feeling forced. Like, they weren't throwing in a whole bunch of new characters that we have to learn, and which I think Disney, that's one of their biggest issues. And it was part of George Lucas's issue as well, is just throwing in new characters and hoping that some of them stick, and then
can become toys.
Right. And then you end up not caring about any of them. Like, this stays pretty closely just focused on the main character, which is what I loved about Loki as well, which I talked about a bunch over there. By the way, if you guys want to hear our Loki recaps, we did a recap of each episode. I don't know how many of them were Mark, how many of them were me, and how many of them
were
a combination.
They all aired on the Second Friend Patreon, I'll tell you that.
Yes, they all aired on mine as well, but go get them on our Patreons. Yes. But yeah, I love this. I love that because my brain gets distracted easily. I like that. I like things that tell a slow paced story, but give you what you want, and
I never felt confused. I never felt like I was losing track of the characters. Like, they kept it very straightforward.
Right. Yeah, I give it an 8 out of 10. I feel like they got I feel like it's a great opener. I would probably agree with you too. Probably more like a 7.5 now that I think about like the ending and stuff. It does set some stuff up, but it doesn't
It's a very good setup episode, but not a blowaway setup episode.
Right. This is like, the beginning of it is great. The end of it is still great, but it feels more like, you know, Mandalorian season one, episode 4 or something.
Where they didn't give me a Baby Yoda, I'll tell you that.
Right. Where you're just like, hey, and to be continued. We're here and something kind of happened.
Yeah, it wasn't that cliffhanger thing. Like, I am looking forward to the next episode, but I'm not like, oh my God, what happens next? I'm just, what happens next? We'll see.
Yep. Agreed. I have no issues with any of the characters so far. I have no issues with any of the world that they set up. I'm going with a 7.5 as well.
Oh, you downgraded back to me.
Yeah, I'm going with you on this one.
Peer pressure.
Yes. I initially put 7.5, and then I was like, I can't think of anything really wrong with this, but I can think of...
It's not about being wrong. It's just about, you know, there's certain levels of excellent, and this is just below excellent, I'd say.
You give me a little bit stronger of a Act 3, and you got yourself a solid 8 or 9.
Give me a little more Gamorrean, and we're going to be talking.
That's right.
Because cooking with fire.
Yes, and that Gamorrean spinoff, along with the Book of Bib Fortuna, coming soon to Disney. It's funny that we used to always make jokes of like, oh, Disney is just going to blow it up into this thing where we have to like watch a new show, a new series for every Stormtrooper, and that... It's kind of where we are for a lot of things. Like, if you watch the Clone Wars, it's like, do you remember who all those Stormtroopers were? Well, this batch is going over here to make the Bad Batch, and now we're going to follow these. It's like, all right, I'm here for some of it, and we'll see.
I started watching Bad Batch, and I did like it, but for some reason I didn't finish watching it, so maybe I should get
it back. Starts out strong, and then it's like, got some filler right off the bat. So
maybe that's why I tailed off around the third episode, where it felt like it was less moving through the action and more like, let's have our characters talk.
Yeah, and I hear that ties into Clone Wars in some way, so maybe that'll help us both. And I'm sure Disney, with their essentials, they're going to include the episodes that lead into anything that they're putting out right now. So that would
make sense. Yeah. It's kind of like the little Marvel things that they put out that are like 20 minutes on everything you need to know about this character before Doctor Strange comes out or whatever.
Exactly. They know how to do that. They don't know how to run a streaming service. But Mark, any final thoughts? Any tell people whatever you want them to know about you or the things you do or where they can find them or what you felt about this show and what your anticipations are moving forward. Do you have any predictions? You got anything at all?
Predictions. Let's see. I predict that I will probably continue to enjoy this show. And I hope that it gets me excited, as excited by the end as The Mandalorian did by the end of The Mandalorian. Because by the end of The Mandalorian, I was like, give me more Mandalorian. So I hope that I get to that level of enjoyment with this. I think worst case it'll be a fun 6-episode series that tells us more about Boba Fett and, you know, leads us somewhere else in this, I guess what they're calling is like the Mandalorian universe, because it's whatever takes place in the time of The Mandalorian. So they're kind of building one kind of universe around this era in time, other universe, even though it's all the same universes, but for our intents and purposes, different eras around different, set around different areas in time. And I am enjoying the building of this Mandalorian universe. So either way, even if it's just another building block, I think I'll continue to enjoy it. I think prediction for the show wise, I'm hoping that it can really take us more from thinking Boba Fett is just a really cool bad guy to actually making us think he's some kind of good guy. So that, I think that's what we need to see if he is our protagonist, like much like Mando. I mean, he started out, he's just this bounty hunter, but over the course of, you know, the 2 years of hanging out with little baby Yoda, and then by the time he takes his mask off, I mean, we're in love with the guy. So I hope they try to give us a similar story with Boba Fett. Not that he has to be this, you know, white meat baby face, happy-go-lucky guy by the end, but I think we have to have a little more sympathy for him and to really see, like, oh, at the end, like, okay, yeah, he is a good guy doing the good thing, even though he's this bounty hunter, even though he just shot Bib Fortuna and took over a crime organization. Yeah.
It does help that nobody cares at all about Bib Fortuna's life. So
yeah, that helps.
Bib lives matter.
Do you think he even had a funeral, or they're just like, no, okay, whatever.
Nobody
just
cares about that guy.
His body in that dead Sarlacc pit and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But where can people find you, Mark?
They can find me everywhere. They can find me personally on Twitter at Mark D. Clare. You can also follow Second Print Comics on Twitter at Second Print Pod. Again, no 2ND. You got to write the whole word out at Second Print Pod. SecondPrintComics.com, and for our Patreon, where you can find this program in addition to your Patreon, but you can find it on the Second Print Patreon, where we do all sorts of other stuff too, by the way. We did a Spider-Man No Way Home spoiler review. Also did a non-spoiler review about a week earlier to not spoil it for some people. So both kinds of reviews are there for you. We do recaps of all the Disney Plus Marvel shows. So we did Hawkeye recaps. Like I said, we did Loki recaps with Dan, What If recaps. You name it. If it's a Disney comic related show, we have done recaps of it for our patrons, as well as other shows like What Mark Missed, where I talk about stories that I miss in the 10 years or so I kind of took off reading comics. Remzo Rants. There's just so much content for as little as 5 smackers a month. You can find that all at patreon.com/secondprintpod. I think that's all I have to plug.
Awesome.
And Mandalorians of Liberty. Find it on your local podcatcher.
That's right. And you can find me. I talk about all this stuff sometimes, and sometimes whenever I feel like watching the new nerd stuff, I always talk about it. But that, along with all the conspiracy stuff and the politics and all that nerd shit, it's all autistic stuff. But you can find it all at thesystemisdown.tv, or you can follow me on Twitter at TSIDpod. Right? At TSID pod, or you can go to patreon.com/thesystemisdown and get the past, present, and future episodes of these rotten potatoes, I guess we can call it, movie, TV review, rant, stuff, recaps, whatever. Whatever the hell.
Whatever. And my thing where we talk about this show. Whatever.
Yes. And I'll end on this. My prediction for the future is that Disney is going to get is going to go all Disney with this. They're going to introduce the multiverse to Star Wars, and they're going to bring Mephisto in, and he's going to emerge from the Sarlacc pit. But thank you all for watching, and enjoy. Tune in next time for more Boba Fett recaps with me and Mark Clare on wherever you're watching it. Patreon/our names. Peace out.